If you will turn in your Bibles with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. While you're turning there to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, does everyone have a prayer sheet and on the back has the outline for this evening? If you need one, would you go ahead and raise your hand so that we can get you? We got Brother Greg right there ready to hand it out. I believe I'm turned on here. Anybody else? We got several up here too, Brother Greg, on my right. If you need one of that, just keep your hand raised high, flag Brother Greg down, he'll get you that. So on one side is the message notes, so you can turn it to that side right now, and then we'll go to prayer groups here and just a short bit. But we're on the side of February notes. Well, praise God, it's good to be in church, amen. Praise the Lord for that, and just rejoicing in His provisions in our life, and we got so much to be thankful for, don't we, church? I mean, we start counting our blessings. You could get overwhelmed quick, and you say, "Well, Pastor, don't you think we could probably count the burdens and boy the other things going on and the complaints?" Well, yes, we could, but it wouldn't do us any good. Wouldn't do us any good. But you start counting those blessings, that'll do something for you. That'll help you to get your perspective. And I've been thinking about that quote I heard recently. It's been a help to me. And that is that praise does not change our problems, but praise God, it changes our perspective of our problems. And that can make all the difference in the world. And always keep that, you know, we just want to praise God for all that He is and all that He does. Well, you found your place there. We're continuing in our series right now on the Clay Pot Conspiracy book written by Dan Harvey. And I meant to bring me up a few copies tonight. I did not. I left them on my desk. I do have a few extras that I wanted to make available to you. Like if you wanted to, just a kind of an offering, maybe $10 per book, but you can also get it on Amazon, maybe just as cheap or cheaper. But it's not a real thick book, but it's a good book. I'm thoroughly enjoying it. So what I'm sharing with you is just sort of a spillover from my own heart, how it's helped me, in recent days. And encouraged me just in how we view weakness in the Christian's life, specifically in the Christian leader's life. And everybody in this room is a leader. You're a leader of some sort. As a parent, you definitely are a leader, or grandparent, or whatever the case may be. But God is leading you here in the church. You're in leadership, even if you're not teaching a class, God is using you to lead. And as leaders, we need to realize that we're weak, but God uses that weakness. And that's where we're going to pick up tonight. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. This is sort of our theme verse for the study. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, the clay pot. We have this treasure, which is the gospel message and ministry, the Lord Himself. And it says here that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. That's the truth we're going after. And tonight, we're just going to be reminded that leadership, listen to this, leadership was never about exalting our strengths. Leadership was never about exalting our strengths. Leadership is about exalting the strength of God, the power of God, the faithfulness of God, the grace of God. What God has for a weak world and the weak humans that we are, God has a plan to deliver His strength through our weaknesses. And we talked about how those earthen pots, remember, we are clay pots. Remember, I am a clay pot. And my clay pot has what? That's right. We have cracks in the clay pot. But I am a clay pot with cracks that belongs to who? Jesus. And the Lord wants to show His power and grace through those. You'll remember there, you can fill this out. Remember the blanks there, the little quote, "Our weakness plus God's power equals a resilient ministry." Now there you could put resilient parents, a resilient husband. I mean, you can make all kinds of application wherever the Lord is using you. But God is just wanting us to understand He's wanting to use your weakness and my weakness to show His power. Now, our inadequacy sets the stage to display something way more glorious than our strength. What is it? As I mentioned, it's God's power and not ours. It's also been said like this, it's about God's grace, not our grit. It's about God's grace, not our grit. It's God's power working through our weakness. Now, Paul's ministry profile, if you will, he has several of them. Because you'll remember in the context, 2 Corinthians, he's combating false teachers. He's combating slander and accusations. He's combating these things, these people that are trying to just really run him down. And some of the Corinthians are taking the bait, not all of them. But he's correcting. This letter is to correct some of those misunderstandings and misconceptions, but God uses it to teach us about how to view weakness. Now notice 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verses 8 and 9. Okay? He gives four surprising contrasts here that give reason for boasting. Now somebody in the world would say, wow, doesn't sound like really anything to boast about. It sounds like, wow, something maybe we should be silent about and not tell anybody what we've been through. But that's not the way the Lord works. Let's look at a few of these together. Number one, troubled on every side. Notice what he says in verse number 8. We are troubled on every side, but not what? Distressed. Now, that word troubled means simply to be afflicted. And that's something that we as humans face every day. We face some sort of affliction, whether it be physical, whether it be emotional. There are some type of affliction that comes. Now, Paul probably experienced it at a level that I probably never will. Just from reading his letters and just seeing what he experienced as a soldier of the cross, I'm thinking, wow. You know, nearly stoned to death and all these other things that he mentions. But nevertheless, he was afflicted, and that's something we face. But he gave the other side of it, and that is he was troubled, but he wasn't distressed. And that word distressed basically means to be crushed. And though we're going to, as we look at this truth tonight, about how the weakness in our life, it doesn't give us an excuse to just give up. Just because we're weak doesn't mean that we're going to sit and say, well, I guess since I'm weak, I can't be used of God. No, it's the total opposite. I'm weak, so therefore God can use me. Because that's what God says He needs to use. So it's the opposite. No, I'm weak. Praise God. God can use me. He can work in my life because He's got a lot to work with Brinson Jennings. I'm here to tell you a lot of weakness to work with and for you as well. But the idea is not crushed. Someone said that this idea of troubled is also carries the idea of like just being under great pressure, almost squeezed. To the point, you ever feel life has just kind of got a tight grip on you? You just feel like you're being constricted, like you got this boa constrictor around you, and man, things are you're just getting tighter and tighter, and that's what life does sometimes. But then it says not crushed. It's not going to get to the end point because God's gonna show His power and grace. I think he may have said in the book, but it says you could almost say that verse that Paul was squeezed, but he was not squashed. Okay, you may be feeling squeezed tonight, but listen, you need to understand because of God's grace, you are not being squashed. Okay, God's going through that. But next one, notice this, it says in the Word, it says verse 9, excuse me, the second part of verse 8, perplexed, but not in despair. Now this word perplexed is kind of carries the idea of being baffled. You may be feeling that way tonight. You may be thinking in your life, man, I'm just baffled about what's taking place right now. And it's situations in our life that are just truly complex. Don't we face those things? I was talking to a brother the other day and I said, look, I just was encouraging him. He and his wife are going through a difficult time. There's nobody in this church. I was just talking to him about that and some struggles with the children. And he's having to make some decisions for the benefit of his family. And we were just talking, and I was just trying to encourage him. I was trying to be a Barnabas. I wasn't trying to be one of Job's friends. I was trying to be a Barnabas, but I told him, and because this is true, I said, brother, I said, the truth is, nobody knows your situation like you and your wife do. It's complex. You guys are boots on the ground. You know what's happening. You know the needs of your children like nobody else. You know the outside influences, how they've impacted. You know how this needs to take place. You know your history. You know your weaknesses, your wife. There are hundreds, literally hundreds of variables in every situation in our lives that really somebody from the outside, we can look at a situation and maybe get some kind of concept or some kind of idea of maybe what the struggle be. But think about this. There are situations we go through. They're just complex. And be honest with you, there's a lot of things in your life that even you know the best and your wife or your family knows the best. And you still, all you can offer and all I can offer even to that is ignorance. We really don't know what to do. There's a complexity there. But even in those things, notice what it says, but not in despair. Paul said, there are times in my life that I'm baffled, but I'm not utterly hopeless. And the reason we're not utterly hopeless, church, is because we experience the grace of God. That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us as earthen vessels. That's what the book says right there. The power is going to not be of us. God's going to lead us through these complex situations. He's not going to leave us hopeless. I was talking to another person just recently, and I was just encouraging them. I said, look, the season you're going through right now, I want you to understand, it is a season. You will come through. God will lead you. It's not going to be like this forever. It is a difficult time, and you do seem like there's in the midst of it because there's so much there. But at the same time, praise the Lord, you don't need to be utterly hopeless because God is leading. But then notice the next one he mentions here. The third contrast is we're not persecuted. He says we're persecuted, but not forsaken. Now this word persecuted here means put to flight. There were times in Paul's ministry, he had to get out of Dodge. He had to get out of town. There are situations in your life. You ever feel like you just want to kind of just remove yourself from a situation? Anybody feel that way? It's like, oh, I just want to remove myself, kind of almost like you're being put to flight. You're like, oh, like David said, if I had wings, I'd fly out of here. If I had a cave, I'd go crawl in it. Anybody feel like that in life ever? That's what he's talking about here. It's not just persecution in the sense that for the faith, it does include that. But it's the idea of just you almost feel like in your spirit, you just, oh, I just feel like it's too much. But thank God, Paul recognizes here, I'm persecuted, but I'm not forsaken. That word forsaken means abandoned. Paul says, I'm not abandoned because he had the earthen vessel. He was the earthen vessel that had the treasure. The treasure was what? The message and the ministry of the gospel. The Lord Jesus Christ, it was within him, and he was not abandoned by God. But what he's experiencing, and I'm going to get to this here in a moment, I want to get to myself. We all are experiencing even these comparisons in some way in our lives, and it's part of the gospel ministry. It's part of the gospel life. Because one thing we're going to understand is that
through suffering, and we could even call it a little deaths, through little deaths there and sufferings through our life, because of that, there's going to be resurrections. And can I say it like this? Death, through the gospel doctrine, death produces life because of Jesus. The little things that we go through in life that bring hurt, that bring loss. I keep bringing up some of these illustrations, and I don't want anybody to get, I'm talking about anybody in here at all, but just as a pastor, I'm always counseling and talking with people, and even in my own life, in your life, one of the things I feel like that I've learned, even in the past, I would say since pastoring 10 years, that I'm learning that, you know, part of going through difficult times, whether it's a loss of a relationship, a loss of whatever, health trials, you know, there's a form of grieving that takes place in our lives. Broken relationships, it's a form of grieving. It's not just when you lose someone that goes on to glory, which that is definitely a part of grieving. We certainly do that. But grieving takes place in other ways too. Some of you have strained relationships, broken relationships, and some of the things that you're experiencing in your own heart, it's grief. And you don't need to feel guilty about that. It is a part of this life that God's going to show His strength in that. He's going to help us, because even notice this last one, it says He's cast down. That's there in verse 9. Cast down, but not destroyed. Again, there is the contrast here that's giving in the ministry to give the gospel an opportunity to show forth its power in the Christian's life. And that word destroyed simply is obviously, we know what it means, but it just simply means not put away entirely. In other words, Paul was facing things that he was down, but he wasn't out. And I hope that you and I will take that, even if you are feeling down tonight, which in a group this size, there's certainly folks here probably that are feeling down tonight. I'm glad you came to church. But the fact of the matter is, when you're feeling down, you need to know that you're not put away entirely. Now, Brother Mike, were we able to get that picture of the line? I'm not sure if we did or not. I wanted to show you where I'm going tonight with this. We're talking about here how the gospel teaches us, again, how death produces life. When I'm going to take a passage to you. In fact, let's just go ahead and turn there again. 2 Corinthians is so filled with this. Let's just go down to verse 10. He says here, after this, he says again, always bearing, carrying about in the body the dying. There's your death again of the Lord Jesus. But he's also going to mention the resurrection. And that the life also of Jesus, not only the dying aspect of Jesus, but the life of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. That's our life. That's the vessel. That's the earthen vessel. That body is speaking of the earthen vessel of verse 7. Okay? And then he says in verse 11, for we which live are always delivered unto death. There's the death. He's not necessarily talking about death as in going, leaving here and going to glory. There's little deaths that he was mentioning back in verses 8 and 9. There's just a suffering. But he says it's for Jesus' sake. Why? We can't miss this. That the life, there's your death at first in verse 11, and then the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. There's our earthen vessels. That's again synonymous to the earthen vessels. And please underline and don't miss verse 12. This is so rich, brothers and sisters. So then, when we understand this, Paul is saying, so then, death worketh in us, but life in you. Because of the sufferings that you and I go through in this life, God is going to bring life through it for the purpose of glorifying God, for the purpose of bringing people's attention to the treasure that is within that makes the difference. Let me illustrate here. Where's the line again? Let's look at that. So, I think we still have it. Do we still have it? Sorry. The two lines that we're going to see here. All right, so the top line is, I believe, an analogy or illustration of no life. It's just a flatliner. Now, unfortunately, there are Christians that desire to live like this in their Christian life. They don't want any trouble, any resistance, any hardships, any trials. There's just no. I'm not interested in fighting spiritual warfare. Let me coast and let me get to heaven. Let me arrive safely at death. That's not what God's will is. This here is more of an imagery of the life, the death and life work of the believer. You constantly have death, and then you have life, resurrection, death and burial. Resurrection, death and burial, resurrection. We are constantly, Paul is teaching here, this was Paul's life. He was constantly dying to self. He was constantly suffering, but the Lord was constantly raising him up and showing forth the glory of Jesus Christ. And so the things that you're going through right now and have gone through, yes, it's suffering, and we're not going to, take anything away from that. We're not going to minimize that, but we are going to recognize that there's a purpose. God wants to show forth His life. Don't miss this connection. I've been thinking about this, so I'm just really fired up about it because it's helping me to understand some things in Scripture that maybe I haven't been able truly in my Christian life have really wrapped my mind around it. So some of you probably have already gotten this, and sorry for the review, but that's why Paul said in Philippians 3:10, those waves, you know, he said that I might know Him. What's the first thing he said? The first thing he said, that I might know Him in what? The fellowship of His sufferings. Death. The fellowship of His sufferings, that's the trials in life, that's the suffering, that's the picture of Jesus dying in our lives. And not only that, but He said, not only that I might know the fellowship of His sufferings, but then He says, I also love it to show forth the power of His resurrection. Living in the power of His resurrection. That's the Christian life. It's so the earthen vessel can show forth the beautiful treasure of the gospel. That yes, there are hard times, and Jesus was shamed and ridiculed and was treated like an animal and was tortured. And that was toward the end of His life as He's going to the cross, but even before then. And He was treated so badly, but every time He always brought forth life through that. The fellowship of His sufferings and the power of His resurrection. You see, the gospel teaches us that death produces life. We are called to embody the death, burial, and resurrection every day of our lives. That's why I still believe goes back. All these things are connected. That's why Jesus also told His disciples, hey, take up your cross and follow Me. The cross is a picture of death. But He says, also talks about how he that loses his life, death, shall find it. You see the connection? It's all goes together. And that's why Paul says, look, and even Jesus told the disciples, you must die to self that you might truly find life. Another way of saying this is we embrace the whole pattern of Jesus' life story here on earth as the story of our life. But many times, Brinson Jennings wants to think that I'm better than Jesus. I won't say that out loud, but many times I'll think that. I'll think the fact that, you know, I'm better than Jesus. I don't need to be going through this. And this is too wrong, and this is unjust, or, you know, whatever it is. You know, why do I have to go through this? But then I lose sight of the fact that, no, this is the life that God's calling me to. And that's why Jesus said in John 15, he said, look, you know, you're my friends. And you are going to follow in my steps. And he says, look, don't take it personal. It's against me, but it's what I've experienced. The paradigm here of dying and rising forms the pathway through where our ministry is. Those of you, can I just talk to some of you parents tonight? Can I bear my heart with you? Does anybody else feel the pain of sometimes when you have a child that's just, they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing, or they're not understanding, or they're going contrary, or whatever the case may be, and it just seems really difficult. But then the Lord brings you through that, and then there's a breakthrough, a conversation, an opening, a teachability moment, whatever the case may be. The Lord constantly is working through the ups and downs, or the death and resurrections of the life. Let me show this to you again. Can you flip back just a couple pages? And I know I got to bring it down for a landing. I'm going to be looking for Miss Kathy Lester. She's going to be holding up two here in a minute. That's an inside joke. I told her at Good News Club, I said, now when we get to the end of our 15, 20 minutes, I was beginning to tell her this. I said, we sometimes will hold up. When we get close to the end of that 20, we'll hold up 2 minutes just to let you know. I said, never mind. I'm not going to do that, because then you'll start doing that to me in the service. I said, two, you got two, Pastor. You got two, five. And then I said, oh yeah, Mark's going one, one, one. And then I said, no, then some of you will be like, But Second Corinthians chapter 1. Again, Paul deals with this so much in all his epistles, but predominantly Second Corinthians. He says here, of course, you know that I'm not going to read all this, but he's talking about tribulation and suffering in verses 3, 4, and 5, and even 6. How we can turn around and be a blessing to others because of our sufferings. I don't have time to get in all that, but it's all connected, even down in verse 7. But I want to draw your attention to verses 8 through 10. He says, for we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia. That's the trials. That's the suffering. That we were pressed out of measure, above strength, in so much that we despaired even of life. Notice this. He takes it another level. For we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead. There's your gospel again. And his life of ministry, it's coming through his life. And notice verse 10. This is so powerful. It says, who, God, which raises the dead, the power of the resurrection, it says, who delivered us from so great a death and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Can I get a hearty amen right there? It's all about the gospel, and the gospel is all about deliverance. It's all about redemption. But folks, we got to understand the suffering is part of it. And let's not be weary in well-doing. Let's keep going. We're not waving our flag saying, Lord, bring suffering. But when it does come and it's appointed by God and comes through our life and it's spiritual warfare, let's just be faithful and know that, hey, the day three, so to speak, is around the corner. There will be a resurrection in the suffering you are in right now. There's going to be a breakthrough, and then God will give you a breakthrough, and then guess what? There'll be something else that comes up in your life. It'll be some type of suffering, some type of affliction. No, with that, God's going to bring a resurrection in that too. And It is God's plan. All right, one more here. 2 Timothy, if you'll just look there with me. This is the last verse I have written on my notes. All right, so this will be the last reference we look at for tonight. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Please look at this with me. It's so important. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8. When you get there, would you say amen? Amen. All right. 2 Timothy 1:8. Be not therefore, he's talking to this young pastor, Paul is talking to Timothy, be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner. But Timothy, be thou a partaker. You share also of what? Of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Now get this in verses 9 and 10. Who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. And it says, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And he goes on to say in verse 12, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. I know whom I'm believed. I know and am persuaded that he is able to that which I've committed unto him against that day. There, right there is the gospel again. Suffering. But Paul's saying, I'm not ashamed because I know and I'm persuaded and I believe God is going to deliver. I'm committing myself to Him. And I believe as weak clay pots that we are, and we are indeed, let the treasure, the glory and grace of the treasure shine through in your suffering and my suffering. Let's pray. Father, thank you for...